good word. Please join me in turning to 1 Corinthians 12. You'll find it in the Pew Bibles on page 1136. 1 Corinthians 12 on page 1136. And while you're turning, you've probably noticed in your bulletins today we have the Annie Armstrong Fund for North American Missions. You may have recognized that name. We talked about her a few weeks back, and our North American Missions is named after her because of all that she did in missions, especially among women, calling women to their place in missions. This week, there is a lot that's happening within the church and outside the church. On March 8th is a celebration that most of the world celebrates, but not much in America. It's called International Women's Day. I remember when I was living in Kazakhstan, it was a big to-do, and maybe it will become more and more significant in the United States, giving roses to the women in your life and acknowledging all that they do for you. That same day is Mardi Gras or Shrove Tuesday. There's other names for it, but it is the last day before the Lent season. And that means that Wednesday, March 9th, is the beginning of Lent, Ash Wednesday. And I encourage you to come on Wednesday. It's 6:15. We will have an Ash Wednesday service. And to fully acknowledge and realize what Easter is all about, you need to know the beginnings, namely Lent and Ash Wednesday. And we'll be discussing more about the significance of that on Wednesday. But I encourage all of y'all to come. Next Sunday, we will be beginning a new series called Big Ideas about the future of Mount Hermon and what it means to have a vision, what it means to have a strategy, what values have to do with everything, and so on. So I encourage you to come this coming Sunday and make sure that you change your clocks the night before, because if not, you're going to miss Sunday school or you'll miss church altogether. So remember that. Also, concerning this sermon series on big ideas, we'll be talking more about the direction of Mount Hermon in about a month or so. But before that, to prep our minds and our hearts, I have a survey, and you'll see these on the glass case in the back hallway right behind me. These surveys, I encourage you to take one, fill it out, take your time filling it out, spend a week thinking about the questions, and then when you're done, just put it back in the little box that is on the glass case where you will find these surveys. This will help each of us start thinking about these questions that we'll be answering, and it'll also help me as I understand a little bit more about y'all and the history of Mount Hermon. It's completely anonymous, so you can share whatever you want, and I won't know who it is. Well, join me as we read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to start in verse 4 and go to the end of the chapter. This is Paul, the apostle, writing to a church in Corinth, a small church in Corinth that happens to be very rich in spiritual gifts and other ways. Verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one, just as he determines. The body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it wouldn't for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable, we treat with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lack it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have the gift of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. The word of God for the people of God. Well, if you notice in your notes page, in your bulletin, the yellow page, the title of the sermon is Everyone Special. Everyone's special. And if you know your VeggieTales, then you've probably heard that before, that God made you very special, and he loves you very much. Special is spelled out in your notes page, just like Baptist was a couple weeks ago. It's an acrostic where every letter means something different, having to do with our uniqueness in respect to being part of this body of Christ. For something that makes us special and fits us part of that body, each letter stands for something. Sermons and talks like these usually go like this. I, the preacher, am going to tell you how to know what place in the body you are, maybe through a step-by-step process of self-diagnosis. And in the end, you'll learn exactly who you are, an eye, a foot, a hand, whatnot, and you'll know exactly what your part is in the church. Well, I don't know if it's as clean cut as that. And that's not what I'm going to do this morning. I think God is a lot more active in who we are as part of the church, in exercising these roles through us. I think God is probably the more important factor than who we are as people. Nevertheless, I think understanding who we are as people helps in knowing where to start in service to God in the church when we're not sure where to begin. So I'm going to give you seven things to think about, consider, as you consider personally your role in the church. So the first one is S, and it stands for strengths and weaknesses. Not just strengths and weaknesses. Everyone has their special strengths that God has given him or her, and we should take roles that maximize these strengths, right? I mean, we see God using people in that very way in the Bible. We look at Paul, the apostle. He was a Jewish priest trained in the Bible, a great theologian, zealous for the cause of God. So God makes him the first great Christian theologian, writing much of the New Testament. And also, he makes him a great evangelist, going around planting churches in his zeal, sharing the message that God has come to save us all. But when I read the Bible, that seems more like an exception than the rule. I see God actually using people in their weaknesses more often than not. I think about the first apostles. They were all fishermen. And Jesus calls them to follow him to create a new movement, the church, out of fishermen. Why? Why did he choose fishermen? Or a tax collector, a man who was despised by the people. I mean, you want someone charismatic, right, to start a movement. But he uses these people in their weaknesses. I remember a story in Acts 4. After Peter and John stand up to preach the gospel before the most learned men in that culture, the Sanhedrin, the Sanhedrin took note. When they saw that Peter and John were what they were saying, and they realized that these were unschooled people, they took note that they must have been with Jesus. Because Jesus, like God, used people in their weaknesses. Or I think in the Old Testament, there's a bunch of stories, but one that comes to mind is Nehemiah, who was a cupbearer for the Persian king, Artaxerxes. And God used him to rebuild the walls and eventually the city of Jerusalem. I mean, he wasn't a general contractor. He didn't spend his life building things. He was just a cupbearer, but God took him and used him. Or today, we encounter evangelists and pastors who have never had formal training, but they're powerful because the Spirit is powerful within them. And it was Paul, that well-trained man, evangelist, theologian, who reminded us that the weakness of God is much stronger than the strength of humans. And so we trust in the weakness of God to empower us. But you never know when God will use your weakness for his glory. Perhaps you think your weakness is evangelism. I hear that a lot from Christians, that they would rather do something else, that God did not gift them in evangelism. as if you can live the Christian life without sharing the gospel. They say, oh, that's not my strength. God wants me to do other things. Well, good news today. God wants you to use your weakness too. He wants you to share the gospel, to evangelize. Even if you stumble over your words, it's all right. It is the Spirit's power that will make evangelism efficacious, whether it is your strength or your weakness. I remember when I was in the Navy, we were constantly using our weaknesses. An officer is bounced here and there, department to department. He might start in navigation, and then he'll get sent to engineering, and then to weapon systems. These officers, they were being trained so that even in their weakness, they can manage parts of the ship. And you know what? These officers learn something about themselves through it all. They might discover new things about who they are and maybe discover strengths. And perhaps you will discover something new about yourself as you exercise in your weaknesses. So don't be afraid to practice your weaknesses. God is with you. That's all you need. God will use weaknesses, and perhaps you'll discover something new. The second is personality. P for personality. God's fashioned each and every one of us with a unique personality. Certain personalities, they gravitate to certain things. There's extroverts, there's introverts, there's those who are good with sensory perceptions, there's others that are more intuitive, different kinds of thinkers. Each one of us sees the world and thinks about the world in a different way, and that's good. In many ways, our personality can dictate how we understand service, how we gravitate towards others. Other times, we may be resolute because of God's calling on our life to serve God in ways that rub against our personalities. Then we might discover something new again. I remember when I was a missionary in Kazakhstan, I realized that this job was difficult. Difficult especially because I was introverted and everyone wanted to meet an American. Everyone wanted to spend as much time as they could with an American. And I was constantly surrounded by crowds. An introvert loves people, but when there's big crowds surrounding the introvert, he or she often shuts down. So I just had to pray to God, Lord, help me through this all. I don't know what to do. But I need your power, your spirit, and your energy, because I have none. And I remember God helping me. And you know what? I think God may have even changed a little bit of my personality so that I was able to do God's calling in my life. Or at least he gave me the grace to step out of my personality. Even today, I feel more extroverted than I felt at that time. So there are times when our personalities guide us, and there are times when God wants to surprise us beyond our personalities. The third is experiences. And we look to our experiences for help. More than we know, our experiences help to form who we are and where we go. I've often asked this question, do I like Reese's peanut butter cups because I grew up eating them? Or did I grow up eating them because I like them? I just don't know. Is it part of who I am, or is it the experiences that made me who I am? Well, it's probably a little bit of both. That's one example. There's other examples, like someone who desires to go into academics, to become a teacher. because of their experiences, good or bad. Maybe they had great teachers and they want to model their life after those teachers. Maybe they had terrible experiences and they want to reform education. They want to be a teacher. God uses our experiences to direct us. God gives us experiences to push us. I think God really does give us certain experiences to guide us in our path. If you experience orphans starving in Africa, will you soon forget that? You probably will be drawn to help. Soon we're going to participate in a prison ministry in just a few Wednesdays this month. And I encourage you to do it. If you've never been a part of this culture, if you've never done prison ministry, then do it. Do it with us in a few weeks. Be open to new experiences, to trying new things, not being satisfied in doing the same thing over and over, year after year, because that's the way you've done it your whole life. You may miss God's voice. God's voice this year in 2011. What is God doing now? God will use experiences in our lives to direct us, but we have to be open to that. The next letter, C, conformity. Conformity. And I'm not talking about conformity to the world, but to the image of Christ. God is constantly conforming us to the image of Christ. Those of us who are submitted to God, who are filled with the Spirit, God is conforming us. We'll find joy in that confirmation. Joy in doing the will of God. His commands are not burdensome. And this is evidence that it's not just a change in our behavior, but it's a change of who we are, that we enjoy doing what God has called us to do. And through this change, you begin to see the world through God's eyes. And you see the hurts in the world that you may never have seen before. You were looking at yourself too much. And now God turns you outward, and you see these new needs, ways that we can serve the community. As a church, we're on this journey together and being conformed to the image of Christ. And we will discover new ways that Mount Hermon can serve the community. But again, God can only conform those who submit to God, those who spend time with God, those who humble themselves to ask for forgiveness, to forgive one another, to seek reconciliation. And that's something that we can all work on. Those who refuse to hold on to their idols and throw them as far away as possible for the sake of following God. This season of Lent, beginning on Ash Wednesday, is a perfect opportunity to find an idol in your life and throw it away, throw it, to take the next step in being conformed in the image of Christ. The next letter, I, internal longings. God also gives us internal longings, passions, things that drive us in our life. We listen to these, and we test them. We see where they may lead us. For some, it might be a passion to work with children. To others, to reach those who had never heard the gospel before. To others, maybe working with college students. These passions are tied to needs in the world. But we can be very self-deceptive about these internal longings. And so that's why we share our passions with one another in a community, so that others may hear of these passions and test them and prove them and say, yes, they are from God. I know there's a passion, a longing from some in this church to start a small group. Well, we test that and we say, yes, this is from God. Go with that passion. The next letter is abilities. A for abilities. The Lord also gives us abilities throughout our life. Skills that you've learned throughout your life, and some specialize perhaps in working with numbers, or some specialize in a certain task with their hands. We've learned this intimately as we've gone forward with the sound system renovations. And if you notice, things have started up in the balcony. We talk with a carpenter, we talk with an electrician, we talk with someone who knows about sound and knows about video. Do we have the electrician install the cabinets? No, of course not. Do we have the carpenter install the projectors? No. Each of these men and women have abilities that we want to utilize. If you've ever watched any Sesame Street, you know that a carpenter is very good when it comes to working with hammers, nails, and wood. If you want to build a house, a booth, a chair, well, a carpenter can help you there. He's one of the people in our neighborhood. And we can certainly learn abilities, too, throughout our lives. Sometimes, in order to accomplish something, we must learn an ability, and God directs us to these. Well, all these things are good to consider as we look to service in the church and to the community. But the most important, of course, is the Lord. And he rounds out our special. From beginning to end, it's the Lord who sets us in places of service for a certain time and a certain place. There might be a specific time that the Lord empowers you and gifts you to do certain things with certain spiritual gifts and natural gifts. There might be a certain place that God sends you. The God is active and working and will push you in ways that you may not even understand yet. We can certainly explore different ways of service, and there we might stumble upon something that God is doing. But it is God in his wisdom that places us, and that's good. This reminds me of a verse in Proverbs 16. In his heart a man plans his ways, but it's the Lord who determines his steps. And that's something that we can hold on to when we're not sure what our place is in the church. Well, let's plan something and let the Lord direct our steps. And the Lord knows us. God knows us much more than we even know ourselves. And there's no way around it either. We look at Psalm 139. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. God knows us, and there's no way around it. Whether we are in the heavens or on the far side of the sea, God knows us, and he will guide us in our service. And to all that, we can hang our lives on knowing that God gives us his spirit to empower us. The manifestation of the Spirit has been given to all Christians for the common good. We are special today, not just because of who we are, but because of who God is. He has made us to serve for the common good of the church and consequently the world. And we look to that as we look to the future of Mount Hermon, that God will be with us every step of the way, directing our steps. Well, I encourage you this morning, if you have never seen this special spark, the image of God within you, and you would like to come to Christ, you can this morning. Christ has promised to give you himself and to give you his spirit, which empowers you to live the holy life that God has called you to. If you'd like to join Mount Hermon Baptist Church in walking this journey together and serving one another and serving our community, I encourage you as well to come forward during this last hymn of invitation. Please join me in prayer. Lord, you've given us so much as a people, and we value these gifts that you've given us, O Lord. But we acknowledge that any service that will make any difference has to be empowered by your Spirit, O Lord. And so we continue to look to you and not to ourselves for service, O Father. Empower us by your Spirit, give us your wisdom, and direct us and where you would want us to be. I pray all these things in the name of the one who empowers us through the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hymn number 355.